Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
It's important that praise and worship are mentioned by name. Specifically, 447 scriptures in the Bible talk about praise and worship directly, and hundreds indirectly. The displeasure of the religious over true praise. It was not the heathen. It was not the anti-God or the anti-Christ. It was the religious people that were so upset over the praise of the followers of Jesus Christ. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things, they were sore displeased. The greatest enemy to true worship has always been and will always be religion. It's not your atheist. It's not your alcoholic sitting on a bar stool. It's people that are religious that say, oh, man, they're so emotional there. We don't believe in that. We believe in just sitting like we are at a funeral. Praise of Jesus will not be universally accepted in the church, and it will not be accepted until that day where every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. The fact that Jesus framed the praise in mouths of babes and suckling ruled out so many people, and they took offense at that. It ruled out several things. That the perfect praise will not necessarily be based on intelligence, education, skill, experience, or theology, because all of these things couch themselves in pride, and praise can never be proudful. Praise is always grateful. Babes and sucklings would cause one to conclude it was based on two things: relationship with God and dependence on God. How well do we know Him is the first question, and the second is, how much do we trust Him? How well do we know Him? The Bible said there's a record in heaven. It's the record of the perfect objects of our praise. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The Bible is a book of threes. It's heaven, hell, and earth. It's man, body, soul, and spirit. It's God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's a book of threes: the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. So if we are to praise Him, it's not enough to sing if you don't know who you're singing not only about, but to. You must know that. And so we must know and praise God as the Creator, that everything that is made was made by Him, that He is truly the Creator. Evolution is a tremendous assault against praise. Because if we evolve, there is no one to praise. There is no song to sing. There is no one to acknowledge and adore if we do not believe that there is a divine designer, an architect, a creator, and we know Him as Father. And so we must know Him and praise Him as the Father and the Creator. Secondly, we must know Him and praise Him as the Word or the Son that redeemed us. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We must know and praise Him not just as the Creator, but as the Redeemer. Because in spite of His great creation, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we were hell-bound, but the Word, the Son, came from heaven and saved us. And so when you praise God, every song you sing has to be about the great Creator, but it also has to be about the great Redeemer. That's the reason why we acknowledge in Him dwell the fullness of the Godhead, that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so if we're going to perfect praise, we have to know who we're praising and why we're praising Him. We're praising Him because we are wonderfully made in His image. What is man that thou art considerate of him? When you consider the majestic powers of the Creator, I'll tell you what he is. He is the redeemed one. We are the ones that have been redeemed and brought from sin and shame, brought out of the miry clay, established on the rock of God's revelation of who he is. And thirdly, we must know and praise him as the Holy Ghost. For it is the Holy Ghost that regenerates us, and all that is done in us is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why it is incumbent upon every gospel preacher that he preach that every believer be a recipient of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with that evidence of glossolalia or that new language, because the Spirit of God comes in you and suddenly you're not an old man, you're a new man. You're not an old person, you're a new person. You're not an old creation, you are a new creation. And all that you are is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, it quickens, it makes alive your human body. And so when you praise God, you're praising him as the Creator, you're praising him as the Redeemer, and you're praising him as the Regenerator, which is a part of you every day. You simply cannot achieve the perfect praise without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason why the great churches of America and around the world that are praising churches will be churches that are Spirit-filled. Those that have made their confession and accepted Christ and shook the deacon's hand and wrote their check will sit silently Sunday after Sunday, because there is no regenerating power there called the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's that same Spirit that was in Mary. It's that same Spirit that was poured out at Pentecost. It was the same Spirit that brought Christ from the dead and from his grave. And so when somebody begins to sing, there is a praise that comes inside of you that's just perfected by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, sometimes I can't sit down. Sometimes I can't keep my hand from going up. It's not that we have to prod and prompt people to praise. It's the fact that there is something inside of them that they themselves can't stop the praise. I've seen people receive the Holy Spirit for the first time in their life in altars all across America, and it's often that they will put their hand over their mouth, but they simply can't stop that river that Jesus Christ prophesied about. It's a river of praise saying, oh, thank God, I now have had what every man is looking for, and that is the answer to what life is all about, because I know the Creator, and I know the Redeemer, and I know the Regenerator, and I am just so happy that the Apostle Peter said it's joy unspeakable, and it flows outside of me. It makes me want to do things that's outside of my flesh. It quickens my mortal body. It makes me act in a way that I would not act normally. I'm happy when I should be sad. I'm rejoicing when I should be depressed. I'm up when I should be down. I'm confessing I'm the head and not the tail. I'm confessing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm confessing that I am an overcomer. I'm confessing that I'm above and not beneath. I'm confessing that my future is getting better and better. And so the praise just wells up inside of me because I know who God is. And so in order to pursue and find that perfect praise, you have to have a revelation of who God is. He's not a cow in India. He's not a tree we pray to. He's not a statue. He is a living God. And he is living all around us. He is in us and on us. In him we live and move and have our being. We can't go through a day without acknowledging him. When we rise up in the morning, our thoughts rush to his acknowledgement that our God is ever present. And he will be our ever present help throughout the day. And we just can't help but say, my God is good. He's good all the time. He is my Alpha. He started me this morning, and he is my Omega. He is my beginning, and he is my end. He is not only my Redeemer, he is my Provider. I know him in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost makes a way where there is no way. I can't help it. I don't just praise God on a Sunday. I praise God on a Monday afternoon. I praise God on a Tuesday morning. I praise God on Saturday at high noon because there's something inside of me that is perfected. I might not be a theologian. I might not be a nobleman. I might not be an intellectual. I might not carry a PhD. But I'll tell you this, I am a babe and suckling in the Lord, and I am at the bosom of the Lord, and I have a relationship with Him that cannot be dissuaded. It cannot be dismissed. He is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so I don't have to come to Living Way and be led by a group of praisers. I can praise God out of tune all by myself in my truck or my car or walking down the street because praise lives inside of me. That's what I am. I'm born again. I'm born to praise God. I praise God when the sun goes up. I praise God when the sun goes down. I praise God in the good times. I praise God in the bad times. I am a praiser. And the timing of the perfect praise is very, very important. The Bible tells the story about the 10 lepers that came to Christ. And they came because they were desperate. Desperation drives you to God. And they were desperately ill. They were going to die of their illness. There was no known cure. There was no clinic. There was no doctor. It was an epidemic called leprosy. And they came to Christ. And they besought Him that He would heal them. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. But the Bible said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10? Where is the other 9? It's important when we praise God. People that are born praisers, people that are babes and sucklings, people that have perfected the pursuit of praise, they praise God before. They ask Him in a request of faith, "Will you heal us?" Nothing has happened yet, but they've already called Him Master. Ladies and gentlemen, real praisers praise God when nothing is happening. Real praisers, when they praise God, when they can't see the light of day. Real praisers praise God before the check comes in the mail. Real praisers praise God before the food gets to the table. Real praisers praise God while the pain is still in the body. Real praisers praise God when the doctor's report is negative and not good. It is the people that praise God before. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to pursue praise, the perfect praise, and obtain it, you're going to have to learn to praise God when there is absolutely no evidence, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and praise is the language of faith. When you're praising God, you say, "I don't see nothing, and I don't feel nothing, and I don't hear nothing, but oh, I know something. I know that my God is a good God, and I know that He's never late, and He will rise in time. He'll be here." And so timing is important in praise. You got to praise God before. And the Bible said as they went, they were cleansed. Praise not only praises God before, it praises God during. Sometimes when the wind is blowing its hardest and the lightning is flashing its sharpest and the trouble is mounting its greatest, that's when you burst forth in praise and say, "I'm not afraid of lightning or thunder. I'm not afraid of the storm because my God rides along with me in this storm. So, Lord, I'm going to praise You right now. It has not yet happened, but I know that God is up to something." There are people in this building right now that you're in the midst of a storm. I would suggest to you that this is a perfect time for you to pursue praise and grab it with both hands and say, "It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to acknowledge that my Creator is my Creator. I'm wonderfully made in His image. I'm shaped and formed after Him. I don't care that I'm in the middle." Pastor Brandon's been preaching about the middle. The middle Seattle is a place where so many people lose out, but it's a perfect place for you to exhibit that you are a born praiser, and your praise can't be quenched, and your praise can't be stopped, and your praise can't be stymied. Praise God. I've got to praise on, and no matter if I'm in the middle of hell, I'm going to praise God. In the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to praise God. And as they were going, they were still praising God. And as they went, they looked down in the middle, and their hands looked new, and their feet looked new, and the sores were gone, and their bodies were healed. And they said, I'm going to praise God. But unfortunately, praise has to have a good memory. So many people have dementia of memory concerning praise. After the storm is over, and after the problem is solved, and after the need is met, they forget who and what and where. They forget it was the Creator that became man, that came down and met them in their need, and the Holy Ghost that sparked in them that generation of life, and suddenly the storm rolled away. Suddenly the cancer was gone. Suddenly the sin was no more. Suddenly the problem was there. It was dissolved. Suddenly the war was finished, and it's all over now, and they go back to their willful way, but not me. I remember where I was before He found me. I remember when He picked me up. And I remember that it is by His grace that I am saved. I remember it is by His power that I live. And so before it ever happens, I'm going to praise Him. What has happened, I'm going to praise Him. But when the smoke clears and the battle is over, I'm going to praise God again. Where are the nine? Here I am, Jesus, pursuing the perfect praise. I've come back to tell you, I ain't got leprosy no more. I'm righteous by the glory of Almighty God. It's the power of God that worketh in me. And Lord, I want to praise You. The distinction of praise, of healing and wholeness. Wholeness manifest when people praise God. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda. He'd been there for 38 years. But suddenly Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, He stretches out His hand and speaks a word, and this 38-year veteran of the pool of Bethesda was healed and changed. Pick up your bed and walk. But the Bible said later, it's always later, Jesus met him at the temple. He found him in church. I don't think he was there by accident. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that we've got technology, but there's nothing like coming to God's house. There's not a promise that says, if you turn on your TV, I'll be in your midst. But there is a promise that said, if you can get two more people to join with you in a church house, I'll be there. And so God is in His house today. And I believe that God, Jesus Christ, had instructed this 38-year veteran of sickness to meet Him at the church following His healing. And there He found him in the temple, the Bible said. And He said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. It is so important that after God has done the work, that you say, not only have I got my miracle, I want to be made whole. It's one thing to be healed. It's another thing to be whole. I'm glad the diabetes is gone, but more than that, I'm glad I'm whole. I'm glad the cancer is gone, but more than that, I'm glad I'm whole. And whole people praise the Lord. Whole people never quit praising God. Whole people never quit extolling His virtue. Whole people never quit telling the reason why they are like they are. Your testimony is not something you got to drum up. Your testimony is an explanation of why you're like you are. I used to be dead, but I ain't dead no more. I used to be just like you, but I ain't that way no more. It's not because of me, but it's in spite of me. He found me when I was down, and He brought me out. He found me when I had an issue, and He solved my issue. Ladies and gentlemen, 6,000 demons and a man could not stop God from healing him when he began to praise God. The Bible said the demonic fell down and worshiped him. I'm telling you that 6,000 demons cannot take you to a prison cell or to a hospital bed if you will perfect the virtue of praise. Pursue it. Find it and say, I might not be the world's greatest preacher, and I might not be the world's greatest singer, and I might not be the world's smartest intellect, but I'll tell you one thing I am. I'm a praiser. I have pursued praise. I have pursued it. I have found it. I know what it is to praise God at all times. I know what it is to praise God in the good times and the bad times. I'm just going to keep praising God. I don't care what happens. I am a praiser, and God lives in your praise, and God visits your praise. And ladies and gentlemen, God is in this place today because we praise God. Say, I'd like to have another 1,000 people in this big old building. So would I. But I've got to trade that 1,000 for the presence of God. I'll just stay here and praise God with whoever shows up, because I'd rather feel God's presence than I would the accreditation of man. I want to know that God is my God, that my Creator is my Redeemer, and my Redeemer is my supplier. I praise Him. I praise Him all the foolish ways. The religious will say, why do they cry out? Why do they act like they do? And Jesus said, don't you understand? When they said you need to censor your people from praising God, make this service orderly and decent, Jesus said, don't you understand? If they don't cry out, if they don't throw their coats in front of me for me to come in on, the stones will rise up and praise me. Ladies and gentlemen, God's going to have a praiser, and I volunteered to be a praiser. I'll praise you, God, no matter what's happening. I'll praise you when COVID is running rampant. I'll praise you when the storms are threatening. I'll praise you when the military is being threatened. I'll praise you when the terrorists are at large. I'm going to praise God because He's the author and the finisher. He's in charge. I'm in His hands, and I'm going to praise God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, 6,000 people can't stop a man, no matter how many demons come against him, if he will just praise God. I don't know what's going on in your life. You said, Pastor, you just don't understand. No, you don't understand that praise is more powerful than a mean boss. Praise is more powerful than a pain. Praise is more powerful than a bad diagnosis. Praise is more powerful than a bad balance sheet. Praise is more powerful than a dead-end marriage. Praise is more powerful than a sorry job. Praise is more important than friends that have turned into enemies. Praise is better than accusers. Praise is stronger than any weapon formed against you. I'm just going to praise God. If they won't let me praise God here, I'll go somewhere else. You can't stop my praise. I was born again, and I was born to praise God, and I'm going to praise Him. He's altogether lovely. His name is Jesus. He's the bright and the morning star. He is my protector. He's my soon coming King. He is my friend. He is my strength. He is my joy. He is my power. I'm going to praise Him. How come you have to act like that? Because He's worthy of applause. He's worthy of adoration. He's worthy of magnification. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. The Bible said in heaven that it's so emotional that they took off their crowns and threw it at Him, saying, praise God. I've seen people take off their neckties and throw them at the altar. I've seen people take off their eyeglasses and throw them at the altar. But I've never seen anybody throwing their crown. But one of these days, I'm going to be in a place where praise is so sophisticated and perfected, they're going to take their crowns off and throw, saying, worthy is the Lamb. Well, I might be a few days early, but I want to tell you, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It saved me. It protected me. It caught me when I was falling. It dug me when I was buried. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. He's all in all. He's in this building, and He's saying, will you be made whole? You can't be whole until you praise God. Praise Him with everything you got. Praise Him with your voice. Praise Him in the dance. Praise Him in the stringed instruments. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Who knew? Who knew that praise was the cure for a serial adulteress. She had five husbands, and the one that she had was not her own. But when she came to the well to talk to Jesus, he directed and redirected the conversation, not on marriage counseling, but he redirected it to praise and worship. He said, you worship, you know not what. You don't know how to worship, you don't know who you worship, and you don't know where to worship. But when he got through with her, she was no longer an adulteress. She was the first woman evangelist. Praise God. Way before there were women televangelists, there was a woman in the Bible that went out and won a whole city to God because she learned to pursue praise in the strangest of places. I don't know what your problem is today, but I do know what the solution is. If you learn to praise God, the chains will fall off like they did in the man of Gadara. If you'll praise God today, your filthy habits of immorality will fall off of you like they did the woman at the well. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll praise God, he'll turn your world upside down. Is there anybody in this building that wants to break out of your shackles? Is there anybody here that wants to soar like an eagle? Is there anybody here that wants to be healed? Is there anybody here that wants to be filled? Is there anybody here that wants to be liberated? I'll tell you how to do that. Don't worry about what the person next to you said. They're probably a scribe or a theologian or a Pharisee, and they're saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's keep it decent. But Jesus said, cry even the more so. Be like the blind Bartimaeus, even the more so. When they tell you to be quiet, even the more so. Like Lazarus, you've been saved, but now it's time to get loose. Turn him loose and let him go. Somebody needs to praise God in this building like you've never praised him before. You need to pursue praise and perfect praise. And when you do, God's going to heal your body. God's going to open the door. God's going to make a way. God's going to provide. He's in this room right now. If you're in this building and you need any kind of a miracle in your life, I challenge you to rise to your feet. Lift your hands.